Hi, my name is Dr. Christy Lewis, and I'm a licensed naturopathic doctor and holistic nutritionist. I've been in practice for well over a decade and treated thousands of people. Something that keeps me up at night is if people know what to do, then why are they not doing it? If we are all trying to live our best life, then why do we compromise, sabotage, and avoid ourselves from making choices that will ultimately rise us up? A basic truth has been revealed. Behavior modification, as simple as it may seem, is very difficult to implement. Hence the birth of this podcast. In between visits are short and sweet shares where I will answer your questions about how to stay on track, support, inspire, and motivate you on your journey, see you in your struggles, affirm you in your challenge, and reassure you that you are not alone. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Dr. Christy and this is In Between Visits. Thanks so much for tuning in. So I'm loving this new format, the question and answer, and the great questions I'm getting, and yeah, just being able to answer things that are of interest and relevant to you. So today's question is, how can I stick with my treatment plan? So yeah, this seems like sort of one of those questions that is a little bit obvious. It's like, well, just do it. But there's so much that happens between visits that can get in the way of your best intentions. And I wanted to explore that a little bit more because really that's the whole essence of why I started the podcast, was really to support patients between visits so that they would feel like they could maintain the goals that they had set out to achieve and that we had sort of set together. So I'm going to start with really when people come in and they haven't been following the recommendations, and it's really tough. I don't want this to sound overly Hallmarky, but it does really break my heart. I really feel people's shame and guilt. And you know, guess what, folks? It's because I get it. I mean, I struggle with the same stuff. And it's so easy to give compassion, empathy, understanding to someone else. We tend to be crazy hard on ourselves. This is a huge theme that I see, is this really pressure that we're constantly putting ourselves. You know, people come in and they're like, Dr. Christy, I was really good for the first few weeks and then I had to travel or my kid got sick or things got crazy at work, you know, fill in the blanks, and I've just not been able to follow the plan since. And I feel like such a failure. And there's this essence of kind of hopelessness, or here we go again, I always try something and I can't follow through. And even like deeper stuff, like maybe I'm not worth this, or maybe this is just easier for other people. And, you know, there's an underlying current there of not enough. And so to this I say, my friends, is that in fact, you haven't failed. You haven't failed at all. In fact, you've succeeded in that the biggest step is that people kind of come back, and not necessarily just come back to me, but come back to that thing that they know they want to be doing in their life, that choice they want to be making. They want to meditate every morning and they want to, you know, eat more greens. And when we fall away and we recognize we fall away and we come back to, hey, wait a second, there's that intention that I'm not really maintaining. It's like, okay, well, great. You're back. You're thinking, you're mindful. You have become mindful the moment you realize that you're not, you know, you're not in the behavior that is in kind of the best interest of your health and your mind, body, soul. So, you know, the true failure is when we stop and then we just really throw in the towel and don't try again. You know, I have, you know, a really simple phrase, and there's no secrets here. Well, the secret is it's not easy. People can make these things look really easy. People, you know, we see different aspects, especially with social media, and it's like, hey, how come this person seems to be able to achieve this with such zero effort, or that without, you know, having any sort of challenges along the way? And I'll tell you one thing is that this job that I do has taught me that we all have our demons, our struggles, our challenges. We all suffer in one way or another, every single one of us. So when you can't stick with the thing that you want to, just consider yourself normal. And instead of shaming yourself, judging yourself, you know, just lean into what can I learn from this? You know, I have been at this health game for like 3 decades at least with my own personal health. So I started out selling cereal for a living and fruit roll-ups, and really quite disconnected from myself, both in mind, body, and spirit. And, you know, I look back to those years and it's interesting to reflect on how much we do grow, we deepen a sense of self, and how that can show up in our mind and our body. And I'm still learning, like 100%. In fact, full disclosure, last night when I was kind of prepping and thinking about, you know, how do I want to approach this question, and what are the podcast notes, you know, that I want to attach to this discussion, is really, you know, I was frustrated. The concepts are like what I was thinking in my head wasn't hitting the page. It was all sounding very confusing and disjointed. And so I got up and I got a brownie. And I'd love to say it was a 2-bite brownie because I ate it in 2 bites, but it wasn't. It was like one of those honkin' Starbucks brownies, and I ate it in 2 bites. And so it happens to all of us. You know, optimizing our health, or, you know, leaning into the choices that are going to bring us to our center physically, mentally, emotionally, is total long game. It's really forever. And like the seasons of your health, you know, life, like things shift, of course. So time, energy, focus, not even monthly, not annually, certainly, but like daily. So we have to learn how to be flexible with these things. We have to recognize that, you know, what looks like A game one day might actually shift into B game the next, and be okay with that, knowing that we are always doing our best, and what might have worked one day no longer works today, and we just gotta let it go. We gotta learn from the journey and then use that information to create a new plan or a new approach that fits for now. So, and the big thing is what's right for you is so individualized. And so there are ways that we can, you know, get support. There's resources, tons of resources out there, you know, online programs for nutrition and meditation apps and fitness programs that we have access to more than ever. And yet I just had this vision of the 20-minute workout. I don't know why that came to me, but as a kid, I can remember my mom doing the 20-minute workout in our living room. And it was like, that was the access we had, you know, and it's pretty amazing what we have access to right now. Just because it's out there, folks, doesn't mean that, you know, it's like easy, or that we should be doing it more often. Every person is different. And really what we want to look at is figuring out what our own plan is in really all aspects of health. And that is, again, part of being flexible, adaptable, and curious about what's working and what's not. So I've recently been blown away, you know, with some really amazing thinkers. I mean, I'm always blown away with these women, but, you know, recently it's like I've set my own intention for this year. You know, I really want to deepen a sense of self, and that sounds very broad, but it's like a really working a little bit more harmonious with myself. So I'm like a driver. I'm like, I struggle with perfectionism. I struggle with people pleasing, and I really drive myself far too hard. And that's actually not in alignment with my true values. You know, some of these external things I'm chasing after aren't really actually even my values. My values, you know, to connect with my family, to be present, you know, to not be so charged up from a lymphatic system, you know, in that fight or flight, that, you know, I miss someone who is needing a help with a bag. You know, I'm too busy to help. I just, kindness, and it sounds so sort of fundamental, but kindness, and coming from a place of kindness because of a deeper sense of self. And so meditation and, you know, connecting with some of these really soulful women has been helpful for me to slow things down within my own body. And so, you know, when you think about Pema Chandra, and I'm pronouncing that wrong, but Brené Brown, Katie Barron, Oprah Winfrey, you know, guess what all these women have in common? They've been around the block. You know, these aren't 30, 40, even 50-year-old women. These are, well, I think Brené Brown is in her 50s, but, you know, these are women who have been, like, around. Like, Pema Chandra's work, she's 80. And anyone who hasn't, you know, connected with, you know, the Tara Brachs and the Pema Chandras, like, go online, and they have beautiful, generous websites, that podcasts and meditations, and just really some wonderful work that they're so generous in sharing with the world. They've been living their life, and this has been the teacher. This has been the teacher. So whether we're talking about trying to include more greens in our diet or reduction of sugar, whether we're trying to implement an exercise program or begin meditation, it's all part of the journey, figuring out what is best for us and being adaptable along the way. So not sticking to a plan. So when someone comes in and says, how do I stick to the plan? Or why am I not sticking to the plan? Or what's going on? You know, this like desperation. I'm like, of course you're not. Like, of course you're not. Because that's what happens 100% of the time. So for every patient that is sort of sitting in the waiting room, you know, they've chosen not to cancel the appointment because they haven't been doing anything or much of what I recommended. And they've chosen to come in, you know, they're shameful and they're like, I didn't do it. I'm like, yeah, of course. It's 100%. I don't expect it. I'm your primary support. You know, I'm the cheerleader and I do have that objective point of view, but I'm not your judge. No one's your judge, even yourselves, my friends, if you can soften that inner critic. And so I plead that you just cut yourself some slack. And what I use this so-called failure as is actually information. It's like valuable information. The what didn't work is equally important as the what did work. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about the aspects of, you know, what worked in your body, you know, the treatment plan maybe didn't shift your symptom picture in the way we wanted. So that's information. Maybe what I asked you to do, you just couldn't access from a day-to-day perspective. You know, maybe turns out you can't stand green smoothies, or turns out that, you know, you are most productive in the evenings. So going to bed by 10 o'clock and shutting off all your computer by 8 p.m. doesn't work for you. And that's my part of my job. Part of my job is to individualize and understand you, the whole person. And that comes with time. And that comes with the space between the visits where you're actually out there trying to implement what we've recommended and learning a lot along the way. So what I want you to think about, you know, as sort of maybe more of a take-home question, take-home exercise, is what about what can we do to reframe? So when the demons come up and you begin to tell yourself that you have failed, you know, you start to say, oh man, of course I failed. I can never do anything. I'm never going to lose that weight. I'm never going to become calmer and be less reactive with my family. I'm never going to sleep well. Like, really lean into that language and be like, like that is the negative self-talk. And how can we reframe that? How can we shift that to our benefit and our advantage? First of all, be kind to yourself, because it's normal to have that negative self-talk. The difference being, what do you do when that negative self-talk comes up? So there's a three-stage or sort of a three-process that I wanna work with you through. So the first is just gonna get totally honest around the experience without the judgments. So there's no buts, there's no because, there's no negative like shoulding. When that comes, park it, not now, and you think about what is actually going on. So you get super honest and real with yourself about the choices you're making. So when you have kind of cleared your perception of what's happening, you'll be able to see the truth for what it is. So that's really phase one. So I'm going to kind of ride us through an example so we get in. So let's say a person has said, you know, I really want to move away from my Tim Hortons double-double and, you know, blueberry muffin. I want to eat at home. And we've talked about the importance of increasing protein in the morning. We've talked about taking time for yourself in the morning so that you can digest your food properly. So like that's been the behind the scenes, and the real sort of take home was, okay, let's see if we can have you doing a high protein breakfast and move away from the drive through. Cool. So this patient's done it. Everything's going well. And then, as I said, there's some interruption and boom, they're back to that same behavior every day stopping. The additional point now is that now they're feeling like total crap and judging themselves for doing this thing that they said they weren't going to do. So just be honest. Oh yeah, I'm doing that again. Yeah, I'm really doing that again. Okay, that's happened the last 5 days in the week. And no judgment, not even an analysis of it. No story, just boom, this is what's happening. Okay, now you've kind of brought that to the forefront. The second phase of this process of... So the second aspect that I really want to focus in, and P.S. my apologies if there's a little bit of a disjoint in that recording. My dog went crazy and started barking. So me and technology are still figuring things out, but I'm going to move along here. It was too good to delete and start over. So curiosity is the second aspect. And what this looks like is taking a step back and getting curious about what's going on. So you've identified what's going on in a really honest, non-judgmental way. And now I want you to start asking some of those questions. You know, take some space between the behaviors, the judgments, so that you can truly understand, you know, what's actually going on. And not only from like a negative, right? Like it's not like, oh, well, you know, I'm not doing it because I don't have time and it's too busy. It's like also, how did I feel? What was the difference? So when I was getting up and I was making that smoothie to go, or I was hard-boiling my eggs the night before and grabbing them with, you know, a piece of fruit in the morning, how did that make me feel physically? Not judgment, but physically. How did that the rest of my day feel? What changes did I notice in my nutrition at other aspects of meal times when I choose the muffin and coffee versus the smoothie? And you know, what's the difference in that? What's the contrast? You know, curiosity around, like why am I not making those choices? Is it that it's harder? Is it that I don't have time? Deeper is really, do I not feel I'm worth it? Do I need to ask for support? Am I trying to care for everyone else's needs before mine? And this curiosity becomes incredibly powerful as we lean into the third aspect, from experience to curiosity, into empowerment. The empowerment piece is where it's at, my friends. When we become empowered, when we truly want to make these changes from a deeper sense of knowing oneself, knowing what makes us feel good, knowing what makes us, having a sense of worthiness around these choices, then you become a lifer, right? Then it's sustainable. You're not just willing yourself to it. Willpower isn't going to cut it. Forcing yourself or willing yourself to avoid something or do something is never a long-term way to achieve goals. It's through empowerment. And the process of empowerment with small changes like breakfast choices to big changes in our lives is a process of learning oneself and being honest about where we are and what's happening, being curious about what's going on, and then using that information to become empowered. And when we have that wisdom, we become very much aligned and we know what we need, and we also know that how important it is to us, and we do what we need to do to stay on track or to stay aligned with the goal because we have a sense of wisdom behind it. So every patient, I send every patient home each and every visit with a treatment plan, not with an expectation for perfection. It's a guide. It's a guide to find out what works for you. It's a guide to allow me to see how you respond to treatments, what you can access and what you actually can't, and the differences that makes to your body. So by going through the process of experience, curiosity, and empowerment, when you inevitably find yourself not in alignment with your health intentions, is your way back to your health intentions, or it's new information to let you know that that is no longer working for you, and what can we do with guidance from a support differently? So whether you're working with a personal trainer, therapist, meditation teacher, naturopathic doctor, we are your guide and we are your cheerleaders. No one knows your body and life more than you. And in summary, I want you to fail on some level, and I want you to come back with that information so that I can ultimately do better for you, that we together can learn about what your needs are, not from a place of shoulds and judgments, but from an ultimate place of wisdom and empowerment. So I will leave you with that, my friends, and I am hoping that you have a wonderful day. You can find all the information about this, or you know, the summary of the notes of this, at drchristylewis.ca. And if you have any burning questions, let me know. I'm all ears. Okay, bye guys.